Three, two,
what's going on out there? Happy Tuesday to you. I hope everybody's having a great day. Great day. You're enjoying the weather, whether it's rainy, sunny, in between, foggy, however you're going through. I hope you're enjoying it. Nothing like enjoying a great day. Great day. All right. I want to say welcome to Let's Talk Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And, man, I tell you, we got a show for you today. So I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to go ahead and get your pen, your pencil, your marker, your crayon, whatever you got, and a piece of paper, man, maybe a couple of two or three pieces of paper, man, because we got some stuff for you today. We're going to be talking about residential, oh, my goodness, residual income and wealth creation. And, man, I'm telling you, I'm sure there are going to be some nuggets dropped here today. And I do insist. I mean, I don't insist, but I would I say just get your pencil paper, all right? All right, so we'd be all good. All good in the neighborhood. Let's see. What else? All right, so if you want to participate in today's show, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. You can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. You can join us in our chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And then there's the Facebook page with Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. Those are all the ways you can participate in the show today. And you know what? I'm ready for you. I hope you're ready also. Man, I tell you, woo, I'm feeling pretty good today. All right. I'll be okay, man. I'm tripping a little bit, but it's okay. It's okay. So, anyway, residual income and wealth creation. And I think there's a lot of information out there that we can share. And I think we can share some things with each other, you know. And we would love to have some of your wisdom. All right. Now, let me also say this before we even get started. All right. For those that gonna call in here today with a bunch of nonsense, we're not even going there. All right. Today we're talking some helpful people. Okay. People. Now, I know when you talk about residual income and wealth creation, everybody get this wild idea in their head. Well, you know, we're going to try and help you establish some things to help you move forward with your finances. Because, you know, everybody gets stuck in financially every now and then. And it's always good to have, you know, someone give you a little advice. But then again, some of y'all don't want any advice. That's why you're stuck in that same little rut that you're in now. So, you know, we're not trying to change it. We're just trying to give you some information. And maybe you come up with an idea or two that, you know, help restart your financial progress to a more positive situation. All right. Oh, man, you're going to learn today. All right. So anyway, so that's what we're talking about today. But before we get any further into it, let me go on and give my shout out real fast to Cloud Nation Radio in the chat room and Deep H2O in the house. Welcome, welcome. And I guess everybody's running a little bit late, but it's okay. We shall get there. You shall be here with us. Yeah, let's try this again. Uh-huh. H2O in the house. Man, I started to play some music, but I thought about, nah, I don't want to play no music today. You know, I'm not in a music mix, you know. You know, I got Mr. Talk Jr. in the house, and he don't want to come on the mic, though. But we're going to get him on the mic one day. But in between time, we're going to go ahead and let's see if I got my co-host on the line somewhere, and we're going to talk to him a little bit because, you know what, he's the man, and he's ready. I know he is, so let me see. All right, this is Mr. Joe here. I know who this is.
Yeah, how do you know it's me? You don't hear the buzz.
Yes, I do. I hear the static.
You don't hear me.
Yeah, I do. Hold on, Joe, okay? Hold on.
Okay.
All right. Now, let me see. This has to be my co-host, Mr. Hakeem. Are you there?
Oh, absolutely. Hey, Joe, how you doing, too?
All right. Well, I got him on the mute side right now.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm feeling pretty good today. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I can't complain at all, man. I am feeling great. No, like I said, I got my mini me here with me, so I'm doing good right about now. For what that's worth, he's feeding his face, of course, but it's okay. It's all right, man. I tell you ready for the show today, man? Because I know you got a lot of information you want to put out there, and you know I did my little research too, so I think this is going to be a very, very outstanding show.
You know what I'd like to have some research on? Something, because I know that Cloud is likes to do research. I've always been interested in the Jewish situation. Back in 1948, they were given a state of land. Now, the Jews say it was always theirs. Palestinians say it was always there, always theirs. So what I'd like to know is, because of the dispute that's always been occurring ever since then, I'd like to know whose land did that belong to? Now, Cloud, if you can come up to with an answer for that, that would be interesting to me because I think you're into political science.
Oh, you're trying to put me in a tough spot right there.
I know, right?
Oh, really?
Man, I think we're going to have to both get on that one now, man.
Well, not today. I mean, sometime in the future.
Yeah, we know not today. You just can't jump on that and just go with it. You know, that's just something you cannot do. But anyway, before
I'll say
we get
Michael
started,
Jackson.
Oh, whatever. My name is Eric, not Michael. Let's keep it clean. Let's keep it clear.
Yeah, but you went like he does.
Oh, well, I always do that. So, hush. All right. All right. Before we get started talking about our residual income and our wealth creation, you know, it's really getting sad, y'all, to any time you turn on the television or click on your mouse on the computer and see there's another shooting going on, you know, that is just ridiculous, man. I mean, there's another shooting in Oregon. Gunman killed student in shooting at Reynolds High School, and he was a teenager also. You know, what is really going on? What is really going on with these people? And just think, not, what, 5 days ago, there was another shooting in Oregon? You know, so I don't know, y'all. Can y'all help me with this? Why is there so much shooting going on? You know, what is it? Is it mind control, as we once said, or, you know, is it just mental illness taking over and nobody's really catching it until it's too late? I mean, how many more individuals do we have to lose, especially our young people, do we have to lose before something is really done about this? Because it's getting monotonous, really. And you know, families are losing loved ones. And after a while, you know, it kind of becomes a numbing effect when you take your time and you see it on television. You'd be like, oh, well, that's the norm. Here's another one. You know, are we headed in that direction? Or is there something that really can be done to help alleviate that the shootings and the killings? You know, I'm just putting it out there. Maybe y'all have an answer.
You there, Cloud? You want to go first?
I'm sitting back. I'm going to listen.
All right. Well, this is all propaganda. There's been 37 of these in the last 12 years. That's about 3 a year. People die more often from these things than they do from mass murders. So this is sensationalism. Myself, I'm not worried about going to a theater or going to a crowded place and having some Batman nut job show up. So there's been more deaths caused by cops per year, probably, than by mass murderers. So that's what people should worry about.
That's what they should worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ooh. It's interesting, Joe. That's really interesting. Look. You know, I'm already I'm already I can't even say it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, look, I always look out, you know, I always look out for what could happen when I go out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Vigilant. That's what I'm hyper-vigilant already. You know,
okay.
But with all this going on, you know, with this going on, how can you just feel safe anywhere? You know, I mean, you send your children to school. You know, that's supposed to be, a place for them to go learn. But how are they going to learn if they got to become hyper-vigilant also?
Again, this is sensationalism. This is an excuse for guards to be put in school for the metal detectors. Three people die a year because of mass murders. More people die in bathtubs per year than mass murderers. This is all part of the sensationalism, the agenda to get people to divide and conquer, to become more worried.
Okay. What are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm relaxing. I don't care about these mass murders. Again, the odds of being killed by some nut job, the way that the press is describing it, is like 1 in 500,000. You have more of a chance of dying by going into your car and going out on the highway and getting run over. Nobody's taking away people's cars.
Okay, I guess that's one way of looking at it. I don't know. It's just getting, I don't know. Okay, maybe that's what it is. Okay, that's all I got to say. Okay, let me bring Pianki in and another caller. 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Yeah, it's Beasley. How are you?
You know,
good afternoon, Beasley. How are you?
Hey, Beasley.
So, Joe, with no compassion for humanity whatsoever, creates this conspiracy theory that this is some big conspiracy to do what, Joe?
You know, Beasley, I like it if you listen to me every once in a while. That would help.
I'm listening to you very closely.
Okay, when did I say conspiracy?
Well, basically what you said, that this is a big plan to what, take people's guns? What's the big plan, Joe?
No, I said it was sensationalism.
Sensationalism.
Right.
You think they're sensationalizing some something as horrific as two nutcases in Las Vegas and shooting two police officers that were in a pizza restaurant?
Yep.
That sensationalism, is it sensationalism when some misfit weirdo kid goes on a killing spree and stabs three people in his home, then goes on a shooting spree killing people in Santa Barbara? Come on, Joe.
They're
hyping this up. They're making it bigger than what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's your opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me, would you rather?
Don't ask me any silly rhetorical questions. The stuff that happens is horrible.
Okay.
It's horrible.
I won't ask you
If you're completely desensitized to it, it just shows that you lack in compassion and humanity and empathy for people. Because if this were to happen to you or anyone you know, you would probably feel different.
And
it's understand that you're desensitized, but to tie conspiracy theory to it.
Let me ask this question real fast. You know, is this a part of the plan to desensitize individuals? So when the so-called police state happens, everybody used to it and they just say, okay, it's just part of what happens every day and we keep moving on, right? Is that what we're looking at?
Beasley.
He's asking you. You know where I stand.
Well,
I have empathy and compassion for people that get caught up and murdered in these shootings. These shootings are not a good thing. It shows that people are on edge and willing to take lives and lose their lives, and it can happen to any one of us.
So what would get you more upset, Bees? Would you get more upset by these mass murderers at 3
You're
a year?
You're asking me dumbass questions again. Okay,
I made a statement, and I'm
real clear about where I stand on this.
Well,
you, on the other hand, have
what
no compassion
is
for people.
You always have residual anger from past shows.
I don't have any anger at all. You just sound like a desensitized rope.
All right, let me put a halt to this real fast, all right? I didn't bring this up to argue about it. I was just asking a basic question, all right? So I guess the question is this, and the answer is this. Some people are desensitized by it and think, oh, well, you know, it's part of life. You know, people get killed more by cars than they do guns. Fine. You know, and then there's those of us that's really, really worrying about it because, you know, there's still in people, families losing loved ones. How can you, I mean,
well,
I don't
know. People, you lose loved ones in automobile accidents too. You see shrines along the road, little dolls and stuffed animals and crosses and so forth. People are sensitive by what appears to be a attack on gun rights. You know, gun rights, just like any other right or law, usually are spurred on by public opinion. Even if you was to amend the Constitution, it would be based on what the public opinion is at that particular time. The NRA came into existence in order to protect hunters' rights. And as time went on, a movement occurred where its general body has in this agenda, the protection of gun ownership. So that's what you see today. And you've had court renderings. You had five before decisions. You know, five in pro gun ownership. You have four against. And, you know, it's just one off from this particular president, a Democrat, appointing another justice may start swinging things in the other direction. So people have a right to look at things that they see portrayed out there, marched out there in the news, and how it's sensitized, how it goes about trying to sensitize public opinion. And you should watch it very closely.
Bianchi just compared accidents, automobile accidents, to these deliberate acts of violence. There's no relationship between an accident, which doesn't happen intentionally, as to someone taking out a gun and shooting a bunch of people.
And if I wasn't comparing. I see it how it's portrayed in the news and how it is presented to the public in order to gander public opinion. The same thing occurred in the Civil Rights Movement. They showed kids being watered down with hoses and dogs sicked on people. So that sensitized the public. Same thing was with the Vietnam era with bodies coming back in caskets. In Iraq and Afghanistan, I don't hardly ever remember in the 6 o'clock news seeing
because the administration claims. Outlawed
Let me finish, would you please?
I mean, you say these things that are totally unconnected.
It's for me to say and for the host to listen.
What?
I don't need for you to give me an opinion on what I'm saying.
I
you say
can give
your
you
own
an
opinion.
Opinion. That's what I'm here for.
Well, I'm
Go
not
talk
listening
to
your opinions.
All right,
Go
hold
talk
on.
To a tree. I'm listening to yours.
And as I said before, a program not too long ago, you end me by 15 times. I don't have very much to say
so
to you, Beasley.
So what? Man up.
Now, as I was saying, Mr. Talk, if you let me finish, during the Vietnam War, we seen on the 6 o'clock news caskets of dead soldiers coming back, and that had a lot to do to persuade public opinion. So you can say the same thing that's going on with these shootings that's happening. You see them on the 6 o'clock news, and they're having a lot to do to persuade public opinion.
And it's precisely what they're for. Because, again, I'll repeat myself for those hard of hearing, is that if you've got 3 a year dying because of this, when you have dozens more dying because of other incidences, then why are we focusing on this when this isn't as dangerous as the other incidences?
Wow. I just have to say, wow. It's not, this is, mass shootings are not as important as the other things? Really?
God's sake. Look. The odds of people dying because of mass shootings, as I've already stated, don't know the exact odds, but they're way, way, way less than dying from bee stings and from falling and dying from inside your bathtub. Why are they not focusing on other dangers, which are more dangerous to the home, which are more dangerous to your life, than these? It's sensationalism.
Now,
when the numbers get up there where it becomes a real danger, then people can take a look at it and say, okay, can't go to a theater, can't go to a restaurant, can't go out. But until that time comes, then people have to put things into the proper perspective.
Proper perspective, huh? I'm going to put it like this. You know, the number of killings killings by guns is higher than most people realize. I got a document somewhere around here that I'm looking for now to where it shows that maybe because not every killing or incident with a handgun or a weapon period is not publicized, but it's more than people actually are aware of. And I think something needs to be done. Before we get into this other craziness about, you know, the gun laws and all that, I ain't got nothing to do with all that. I'm just saying something needs to be done, all right? Because we've had this discussion about gun control on the show quite often, and we know where that goes, nowhere. So, you know, maybe, you know, there's something that can be done. I mean, you have schools with metal detectors in them already. And he's still shooting guns in. Okay?
You know,
You have schools with police officers walking around in them, and they still get guns in there and have mass shootings. So what is the answer here?
Eric, I knew of a public school, all black, in the hood, is 2000 and what's this, 14, 12. They didn't have metal detectors in it. Never did have metal detectors in that school. And unfortunately, it closed because of budgetary concerns, and that's a whole different story. But that's not typical. It's not always the case. But it didn't have metal detectors in it in Kansas City.
And in terms of guns, if my memory serves me right, I have a document which breaks down the types of killings per year. And I think more killings are done by fights, by people getting their asses kicked, than by rifles. I'm not talking about overall armaments. I'm talking about rifles, which is a big concern to a lot of people because people think, oh, rifles are dangerous. They should only be confined to the home, and they can be modified to become semi-automatic weapons, and yada, yada, yada. More people die out of getting their asses kicked and going to the hospital than by rifles, if my memory serves me right. I might be wrong on that.
So I guess you're saying you don't have a problem with these mass shootings. You just don't want them reporting it on the news and making a big fuss about it.
Oh, bees.
You're complaining about the sensationalism. You're not complaining about
the sensationalism. How you
right.
come to your conclusions is amazing.
Well, the sensationalism comes from the media.
Well?
So if the media didn't report on this, you would be fine with it. So you don't have any problem with the behavior of what's happening. What you have a problem with is that it's being sensationalized to make people think a certain way about certain things. That's
what
you're
saying. I have a problem with people taking a look at what's on the news and this particular type of news being sensationalized so that they get inflamed over something which they should not be inflamed about.
So you would be happy if this just were, you know, were on the 7th or 8th page of the newspaper or if it didn't lead on the news. You have no problem with this stuff, this kind of stuff happening. You're more
concerned.
That's
the conclusion that you come
up
with.
That's exactly what you're saying, Joe.
Again, Bees, you're not logical.
I'm repeating what you're saying. And it doesn't sound logical when it comes back to you. Because all you're complaining about, Joe, all you're complaining about is the sensationalism. You're not complaining about the behavior. Okay, and then you're minimizing.
Because that's what I'm focusing
on. Then you're
on.
Minimizing the behavior by comparing it to people falling in bathrooms and getting into fistfights.
I'm minimizing.
So you're not concerned
nothing.
About the behavior.
Okay, let me make it clear for you, Beasley. Okay, the sensationalism is bad. The mass murders are bad. Okay, but people should not be as worried about mass murder as they should be about other instances. The sensationalism is what is getting people inflamed, and they're getting them overly worried about something of which the odds are astronomically against happening to them. Am I making myself clear?
Well, you changed what you said, because before you didn't say that the mass murders were bad.
Well,
all you did was compare them to other ways to die and minimize them. Your real problem...
No, not minimize. I was focusing on the sensationalism. It goes without saying that if anybody dies because of somebody's being on psychotropic drugs or because they're mentally ill, that's bad. Because I didn't say it, you want to come to a conclusion like that?
No, I'm being very quiet and listening to you.
Okay, then come to the right conclusion.
You're changing your conclusion. You're changing what you said. You're changing what you
said. I changed what I said in order for you to become clear.
No, you were real clear before, Joe.
No. Beasley, you have to understand that you did come to an illogical conclusion.
Well. Well, you know what? In this instance, and I have to agree with Beasley, I think you changed what you were saying, Joe, but we understand now.
What I said in order for people to understand so that people like Beasley and others...
Joe, quit playing games, okay?
I understand what you were saying, Joe.
Double-talk games, Joe. You say one thing,
Eric.
Then when it gets challenged, you change it to something else. Quit playing games, Joe. Who do you think you think you must think you're talking to people that you can bullshit?
All right, Eric. Hold on. Who's the king of bullshit, as anybody's already admitted,
it's you.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Hold on. Wait a minute. Well, yes, Pianki. I hear you calling me. You call me, you don't want nothing, Pianki. What's up? Okay.
Maybe, did you mute him?
No, I didn't mute anyone. All right. Anyway. All right. So we.
I muted myself so I could pay attention.
Okay.
Joe, I'm talking now.
All right. Okay. I just brought that up because I think something needs to be done, and we're going to leave it at that. All right? We're going to leave it at that. Next thing you know, we have a whole show going on that just wasn't, you know. Anyway, let's see. I guess we got Pianki back on this line. Pianki, this you?
Yeah, you hang up on me?
No, I didn't hang up on you. You hung up on yourself.
No, it wasn't me. But I was going to give you another example of the sensationism that played out intentionally. You remember some time ago when Toyota, I believe it was a Toyota, a Japanese automobile maker, was having manufacturing production problems with some cars that was already out with a stick and accelerator.
I remember that.
And you remember how the news was playing customers driving their car that was experiencing this problem, and they would make 911 calls talking about, oh, my car is doing a 90 miles an hour and I can't seem to stop it, and so on and so on and so on. Well, that was played over the news endlessly and endlessly over and over, and not only that one incident, but many. But now, just roll ahead, and presently GM is having a major problem with recalls, which is causing problems and maybe have led to some deaths and haven't been reported. But how often have you heard it on the news? So that type of reporting does go on. Now, we're not saying that, at least I'm not saying that I condone that someone lose their life under any circumstance that's caused by a deranged person or malfunctioned product. But the news do play upon it in a particular fashion and for a particular reason.
Okay, well, thank you, sir. As I say, we have moved on, and I thank you for that piece of information. However, I still say something needs to be done. All right, so now let's get on to the topic of what the show is about today, because some of y'all going to need it, I see, with medical care. Residual income and wealth creation. And you know what? Right now, I'm going to let my co-host open it up because I know he got some stuff we want to see. We want to hear first before I chime in. And also, I want to give my shout-outs in the chat room for those that came in late. Renee Bass, Enjoying Life, Divine Design, and my chat room coordinator, Antoinette, is in the house. All right, so... without further ado, I'm switching it over to my co-host, and I'll be back in about when he finished. Okay. Go ahead, Akeem. It's on you. What you gonna do?
Oh, no problem. I think it was an interesting accountant, a CPA, in fact, who said it best, and I totally agree with him. And he stated that every lesson you learn from someone else and apply is one fewer lesson you won't have to learn the hard way. So I totally agree with that. I believe that was the CPA, Diane Kennedy, if I'm not mistaken. So I could be wrong. And oftentimes we talk about, you know, living hand to mouth on a consistent basis, and I'm sure everybody agrees that we all have at some point desired some form of residual income, some extra cash or something to supplement the money that we're not making at that moment. And so typically in today's economy, you know, if you're unemployed or or in worry that employers will turn you down for taking on, you know, something like an unimpressive work during this recession, so-called recession, or for the large employment gaps, you know, on your resume or so. The truth is, you might feel like panicking, but it's not always necessary. I read a survey that was released by the career website, careerbuilder.com, and it talked about how last year that it revealed that the vast majority of employers are actually sympathetic to such circumstances. In fact, I found it in the article, I believe, by Jacqueline Smith and Forbes. So, talking about jobs, we know job hunting in general, for those who do it, it could be a time-consuming task, and learning how to make money fast, so to speak, doesn't always pay a cent until, you know, you actually land a job, if that's your preference. So in the meantime and in between time, oftentimes people say, you know, you still have to pay rent and utilities and health care costs and somehow afford groceries. And even for those who may receive those unemployment benefits, they also run out pretty fast. So there's a little cushion for many of those people dealing with a variety of these different scenarios. So I found a couple of interesting ideas for residual income, and some of them I'm sure many of you are familiar with them already, but I like to reflect on them and talk about some of those ideas. One is a very, very popular one that many of us have heard over and over again, and that is, you know, cleaning houses. Obviously, I know that has a lot of mixed reactions to that idea because of it represents a lot of different things in history to some people. So, you know, call it a recession or proof of just plain necessity, we know that one thing is for certain, that some people will pay to avoid housework. And, you know, if you need tips on techniques, you can find plenty pretty much on YouTube and other search engines to munch something like that. You can also use everything from, you know, your social networks, your advertisement ads, and network events, and so on to get the word out for a service such as this. Another cool one, you know, that a lot of people do out of desperation, but it also works, is the possibility of those who give blood, you know, because some plasma banks, you know, pay up to $35 per pint in the United States. And, you know, federal regulations state that an individual may, I believe, donate 2 times, I think, in a 7-day period, if I'm not mistaken, with a minimum of 2 days in between donations, if I'm not mistaken. So one of the popular places where that practice can take place is somewhere like DonatePlasma.org, which actually provides details in a searchable plasma bank database, pretty much to help you find a plasma bank in your area if that's something that you are interested in as well. Walking dogs for those people who love pets, particularly dogs. You know, if you have a love for dogs, you know, then maybe you could just consider getting paid to walk them. You know, dog walking is obviously a great way to exercise while getting paid for your time at the same time. You can also research sites like Start Dog Walking, I think it was, on your search engine for a few tips on establishing and advertising a dog walking business if that's something you're interested in. I think another cool one is definitely reselling your unused gift cards. A lot of people have gift cards or have purchased gift cards that you have on hold. And so that's a cool way. You know, gift cards make great gifts, and you know, people love the convenience it provides, obviously. And there is definitely nothing like avoiding the pitfall question, you know, what kind of gift should I buy? So, you know, that's where you come in. You know, you can use something. I believe they have a site called giftcardgranny.com is a good one to try with, to search out, seek out, do some research. It's definitely a good place to start for research. And this particular company can link you up to with some of the highest paying gift card resellers in the industry, if that's something you're interested in. Obviously, babysitting is one method. I don't have to say much about that. You pretty much know that. And one of the things that surprised me and caught my attention, you know, is delivering phone books. I think mainly because I don't know how many people still receive phone books today. I still do myself. I don't know who else, how many other people are receiving phone books and how popular it is, but I know they're still circulating to some degree. So this is definitely a fairly simple opportunity that one can make anywhere from between $7 to, I believe, $10 an hour, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously you're responsible unfortunately, for paying your own gas, and you must have some form of dependable transportation, but the rest is provided. So you can check out a site such as phonebooks.com, which can connect you to phone book delivery opportunities in your designated area. So that's just a few options, you know, basically to start you off. And some of the more techie orientated ones for people who are interested in techie orientated stuff, you know, there's a variety of different methods that you can use. You know, if you're anything like me, you know, you've often said to yourself there definitely has to be, you know, some other options and opportunities for some residual income, some extra money here and there. So, you know, we're all definitely in luck because, like I said before, just a moment ago, there are definitely several different ways in existence currently to make some extra money legally. That's the key word, too, legally. And, you know, one of the first things I personally like to do, and this is just me, is organize an inventory list, so to speak, of special skills. You know, once you organize a list of – once I particularly organize that list, that special list of skills, what I like to do is take inventory of everything I own. To give you an example, I could write down a list of A to B, or A through I, however I want to do it. And things like, I'm going to just make up some stuff. You can put something like sales experience. One could put research experience. If you play an instrument, that may be a skill. If you're good at marketing, you know, SEO, things like that on the internet or any form of marketing, that could be good. If you can translate other languages, that's definitely excellent. If you own a vehicle of some sort, you live in a house, you know, if you have an office with extra, you know, open space of some sort, and if you have a garage or a two-car garage, you know, those are definitely that's a good inventory list, a good starting point. So, you know, after organizing my personal list, what I like to do is, for my next steps, I like to figure out how to use those assets to create value capital. Now, me personally, I like to start things like a Yelp search or a Google search or a Bing search, whatever you want to use, and discover things like, for example, peer-to-peer car rental services. They have things like GetAround.com, for example, or there's some other ones. And these online services pretty much allow you, a car owner, to rent out their car to locals and tourists in their city for profit. So after renting your car out for a few days at, let's say, $45 per day rate, you may be able to make double your $30 goal, for example. Let's say your $30 goal in that two-day period. Another great option for car owners is who have the time is things like Uber and Lyft, which I know can be controversial to some, but is definitely a good option as well, where you can basically turn your car into a like a taxi service almost at the click of a button, and you can use things like Uber or Lyft, their apps, and anyone in need of a car can basically connect with the driver at the tap of a button, and it's available on iPhone, Android, and a few other websites. There are also some cool things out there for some of you guys who have some great skills, like marketing, a marketplace, because I know a lot of you guys have a variety of different great, great, great talents. And so something like Fiverr.com, F-I-V-E-R-R.com, is a global online marketplace. And, you know, they offer tasks and services referring to as gigs, beginning at about $5 per job. That's the catch. You know, every job, every task is a $5 task. And they use the $5 task to pretty much draw people in so that they can buy your other products or services that you might provide, from which it gets its name, Fiverr, obviously. A few other options out there is obviously you can use personal items and sell them using things like Craigslist. You got eBay. You got a variety of old-fashioned yard sales. That's a good one. You can also do some landscaping for those who like to landscape or shovel snow seasonally, depending on, you know, how the seasons work in your particular city. You can also use a truck, you know, to pick up the other people's junk, help people move. Is another cool option that's out there. And then, like I said, these are just a few options for residual income. That's pretty much all I have for this very moment on that particular.
I like to make a distinction, though. What you're describing is excellent.
It's supplemental income.
Yeah.
You're not describing residual income at all.
Yeah.
You're describing, and you did a good job of it, but you described things that people can do can supplement their job or their regular income, but it's not residual income. Residual income or a residual income stream, it speaks about money that you – it's money earning money. It's money when you're not on the clock, when you're not working. If you own rental units, if you're collecting royalties, if you have stocks that pay dividends, that's residual income. But you described supplemental income better than anybody I ever heard in my life.
Yeah, well
–
Can I get in here?
Why?
Please?
Is it because it's your show?
Yeah, it's my show. Can I get in here? I know I have all these experts in here, but I like to get something in here. Okay. Now, Beasley done put it out there though. But what I was gonna say the same thing. You know, when you talk of residual income, it's just that income that continues to pay 24/7 without you doing anything after you have done the initial work, the initial investment or the work that you done put in, then you can just sit back and draw money in, you know. And Beasley mentioned some of the easiest ways are as real estate. You know, you buy a couple of buildings, rent them out. You don't have to do nothing but sit back and let collect your money off that, you know. But the thing about residual income, you have to have a steady income, and your job should not be your residual income or what you grow your wealth off of, because in that case, it's really not, it cannot be considered either, because number one, you can lose your job after so long. Number two, your salary top out at a certain level, and then you're stuck in an everyday grind. Understand? And, you know, the other thing is, heck, you just may be tired and you get demoted. So, you know, when you talk about residual income, I think first we have to look at the ability to grow your own wealth, create your own wealth, because without that, it's useless trying to create residual income, because you're beating your head against a wall because you don't have anything steady yet to build off of. So, you know, any comments on that before I move on further?
Yeah, I got one.
Yeah. Oh.
The residual income. Some people live off the residual income. That's true. The goal for a lot of people, and a few of them are successful at it. But what you're talking about is also right. For those who are brand new at it, try to get the wealth first. Try to get your major income. And then when you branch out to getting residual income, don't quit your day job until you know for sure that that residual income is going to be nonstop.
Yeah, another thing, Eric, real estate is not the best example of residual income because real estate requires maintenance outlay from time to time, which may even require your own time. So best residual income is when you don't have to something one time. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
When you do something one time and you receive payments from it for a long, continuous point of time.
Okay. Now, here's the thing, Pianki. Here's my take on this. See, if you build your wealth up first, then when you buy your real estate, you're able to contract out to someone else to do all that for you, and the only thing you have to do is collect your money. Now, of course, yes, there's going to be some maintenance that may have been done. Things may break, what have you. But if you have built your wealth, you know, that's a minor distraction compared to the money you're bringing in. You understand what I'm saying? And you still make it like that. Because I know a lot of military people here in this, that has actually done that. And, you know...
Well, I didn't say it wasn't an example. I said it wasn't the best example.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say that you guys are totally right that the most of those were definitely supplemental, with the exception of the ride sharing and the apartment sharing. Those two, those could be residual, and you wouldn't have to you could continue to make money off of those.
Yeah, residual income is great, okay? Very few people can do it, but if you can accomplish it, great.
I mean, residual income, if you do it right, man, I tell you, you can be financially independent and, like Joe say, don't have to worry about anything, you know, because you got that money coming in. You can just live, you know, a lot of the millionaires and you know, the sub-millionaires, you know, that's how they make a lot of their money, in residual income. It's not, you know, what they make their regular income. It's off residual income. Residual income, you know, you have to be careful. You do. Because there's so many scams out there to where, you know, you get taken every day if you're not careful. That's why it's more important to build your wealth, your personal wealth. Then that way you can be choosy and decide what's good for you and what's not. Because I think a lot of individuals try and do this residual income thing, but they have not, you know, established any personal wealth for which to work with, and that leads them down a dark alley, because once they get to the alley, they have nowhere to turn because they boxed in. You know, once again, I said that's just my opinion of it, but that's the way I see it.
You know, and that's one of the downfalls of the athletes, is that I think 75 or 65% of them are broke within 5 years after they retire. And if they really knew about the power of residual income, if they didn't take the word of financial advisors who could probably bullshit them, they could set themselves up for life with the amount of money that they had coming in under contract.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Joe. And within the African American community, it's really bad, because in order to create wealth, you have to be disciplined. You understand? You have to be able to sit there and live within your means and live meagerly, I guess is a good word. Now, what happens a lot of times, as soon as we get a tad bit of money, we got to go and buy a new car. You know, you got to go and get some rims put on the car. You got to put a stereo system in the car that works more than the stereo. You know, you got to run to the casino, try and, you know, gamble some more, get, you know. And discipline is not there. When it comes to the wealth creation, you know, that's the biggest thing besides knowing, having a vision and working toward that vision. Because if you don't have a vision and you don't have a program set to get to that vision, then whether whether you're making a lot of money, I don't care how disciplined you are, you're just not going to make it, because you don't have that vision and you're not disciplined enough to follow that. You know, that's where I'm feeling.
Well, you're right about the discipline. People have to live very, very frugally, regardless of whether it's a $100,000 budget or $1 million budget. And people have, you know, should live frugally, because you can very easily outlive your income. I mean, outspend your income. But did you know that in today's economy, 50% of the households, if they've are without the next two checks coming in, 50% of them would be homeless, according to some studies. I mean, that's how bad it is today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and, you know, everybody will say, well, that's because of the system. No, that is because a lot of people have not taken the time to educate themselves financially as to what it takes to keep from being paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of going out there, what example can I use? Going to the casino every time you get paid, you know, or going to the club every Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. You know, you can put that money aside in an RA or put it in a savings account where you, or what they call a Christmas account, to where you can't touch it. You know, mm-hmm. You understand? That way, you're slowly building your wealth, and it's teaching you it's teaching you a little discipline. Now, once the time comes to where it's time, like a Christmas account, you know, you can only have them in there for a certain time a year. Once it comes to that, just reinvest it and put it back. You know, investments, some investments, you know, you can do with your 401k and things of that nature. So, but the first thing happens is we have to educate ourselves, and we have to educate each other as how to create wealth and to make it work for you. Yes, Bianchi, I hear you calling me.
A person who is earning a salary will never be wealthy. But you're talking about, I don't even know what the word, what's the word for it nowadays when a person will earn a salary and put money in the bank? Hey, the banks don't pay you no interest. I mean, things are messed up in this country anymore, but I understand what you're saying.
It's a really remarkable word. It's called saving.
Let me disagree with you to a point, Bianchi, because you can save a lot of money off your income. But again, you have to live frugally at the beginning to serve your interests for the future. And then after that, then there are ways of making residual income work for you. So, but if you're thinking of in the norm or more, most people who are wage earners, wage slaves, are they going to do that? Hell no. As a matter of fact, I remember years ago, I don't remember if it was during the mortgage crisis or prior to it, there was a little story on TV about a family, some rural family. They had been working, I think the head of the family was a trucker, and he was working for in a corporation for like 14 years. Now they laid him off. And they were complaining about my loyalty to the company for 14 years, and this is what they've done for me, and now I'm not eligible for the pension. And I'm thinking to myself, you freaking idiot. There is no such thing as loyalty. Because if you wanted to quit your job to go work for another trucking company, you would have the freedom to do it, and there would be no such thing. You know, and if the boss said, well, I've been loyal to you, there's no bullshit. I mean, it is bullshit. You're all a 1 week or a 2 week wage earner, and people here have the opportunity to go move any place they want to do. The problem was this family thought that they didn't have to save, and that was the real problem. You've got to put away your income. If that means sacrificing, you sacrifice. Simple.
Well, you know, we should use a good example when I talk to people about Will Smith back in the 90s when he made that movie, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I may be mistaken on the title.
TV series.
Mm-hmm. But every time he done one episode, he done it one time, and even today he's still making money off of it. So that is a very excellent example of residual income. It's done, and money comes in for decades.
Yeah, if you can negotiate right, if you have the right talent agent.
But you just have to go to Hollywood and have sex with men in order to get in that position.
things in this country now is
you didn't talk about
this country.
That part.
You know, an interesting thing that one of the guys on one of those books I was talking about earlier in the week, one of the CPAs was talking about is the importance of being able to understand, you know, the financial statement. And he talked about how, you know, our financial statements pretty much tell a story. And in his opinion, he said that the financial statement was like a, I guess like a crystal ball, because when it comes to predicting, you know, what your future could be. And one of the things that the CPA stated was that, you know, we should definitely get an understanding of our financial statement first. But he said even better, we need to imagine, you know, looking at our own monthly financial statements to pretty much identify what was working, you know, so we can do whatever it is that's working, and then we can distinguish what isn't working from that particular statement. But he also talked about identifying those cash flow patterns in our own lives, and he talked about you know, some of the steps to design the ideal, I guess, financial statement. You know, what type of cash flow you pretty much desire, and how to pretty much put those goals in writing with the financial statement, and create a system where your cash flow and your finances become easier to measure, that you have a measurable tool that you can use as a guide for your investments and even your business decisions. And he really talked about the value of ownership, even if it's just for the purposes of the tax perks, you know, and how, you know, with your business, obviously, you know, you track your income and your expenses. And, you know, that way whoever helps you with your books can accurately prepare your tax return, and you can discover some of the various tax advantages and the various other advantages for you know, how to use your money, and I guess differentiate between your balance sheet and your income statement and your statement of cash flow, all those wonderful things.
Yeah, and stay away from that rental problem. The thing to be in now is extended living, so you can get you can really do a job on them old folks.
Well, you know what I wanted to say? I'm sorry.
You get the pension. And I don't know about the Social Security. But heck.
Well, the thing. Eric, what happened?
You just shooting people random.
Yeah, what happened?
No, I ain't shooting people random. The Yankee, nobody got shot. I'm talking about taking senior citizen stuff. You know, all right. Go ahead. Who was in the call?
Here's the thing.
Oh, you did say that. Okay.
Has anybody ever come across information that said that you could buy real estate for no money down?
Yeah.
Okay. It is true. You can do it. I almost did it years ago. So that isn't bullshit. You can actually do it. If I had wanted to go ahead with the contract, I would have, and I would have had an apartment building for no money down. So that's true. That's good. Well, depending upon how you're going to maintain it. But see, I knew that if all I needed was two tenants not to pay, I would have had more mortgage problems on my hand, and the building was worse, so I didn't go ahead. But, Eric, I had a feeling that you were going to try to lead up with residual income to MLM. Am I right or am I wrong?
Okay, and what does that stand for?
Multi-level marketing.
Yeah, and that was awesome.
Well, no. No, because, I mean, we could get into that. But first, I think the foundation has to be laid about how to create it first before you can come up with residual income. You know, because it's no good to try to do any of that if you don't know how to save your money to where you have enough income to step out and try and make residual income happen. I mean, yeah, we've given some great examples, but come on, you're talking about Hollywood, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime shot that goes good. You know, Pianki said real estate is not a good thing. Well, maybe not in his area, but I know in the area where I am, real estate is booming. You know
especially
what I mean?
Around Austin. I don't know how close you are to Austin, but yeah.
That's a good thing to get into. But like we said, first things first, you have to have you have to have yourself educated. You got to have a plan, and then you got to remain disciplined to reach that goal, and then build another goal, and then eventually you'll be to the point to where you can have that residual income. Now, some people, you know, they trying to do it just off their regular salaries they make. Like I said, that's not a thing because you know that is not as reliable as most people think. So, you know, then they have these, especially around here in my area, you know, they have these little programs going on, you know, different things like Herbalife, a thing called Kehlani, you know.
Multi-level marketing.
Yeah, multi-level marketing. That's fine. If you have discipline and stuff and you're willing to get out there and do the work, then, I call it a pyramid scheme myself because eventually you will have somebody and somebody for you and so forth and so on. So, I mean, if you're willing to do that, that's fine. But you
those are probably some of the worst people in the world. They will bug the shit out of you. they will bug you and they encourage you to bug everybody that you know, all your friends and all your relatives. I got a cousin who I joined up with prepaid legal, then I canceled it. I haven't taken his call for 6 months. This is a cousin that will call and start a small talk conversation, and then it always ends up, hey, have you thought about getting back with the prepaid legal thing again? I told him if he calls me about that again, you know, I'm just going to stop taking his calls. But multi-level marketing people are probably some of the lowest forms of life. I've been to multi-level marketing meetings, and these people will talk to you. And they'll talk to you, and they'll be very friendly and engaging. But as soon as they get the idea, as soon as you tell them, I'm not doing this, not only will they stop talking to you, they'll walk past you and act like they never had a conversation with you. They don't know you from Adam. I don't have a lot of patience for multi-level marketing schemes and people.
You know, the thing
that's
is
that's me personally.
Yeah. About prepaid, I signed up for that not to be a distributor, but I use his services. And
yeah,
I can tell you,
$17 a month. It ain't bad. It wasn't really a bad deal at $17 a month.
But when I use his services, let me tell you, it wasn't worth shit.
Wow.
I stopped
automatically. You got a return call back from a lawyer pretty quickly, but if you had a real problem and need to hire a lawyer, it's really basically a referral service.
That's all.
They would refer you to someone that wants to charge you a super top notch high fee.
Or they'll say, well, yeah, this is my area of expertise, but it's going to cost me too much time and effort, and I don't want to take the case. So there's no such thing as the lawyers who are part of the network. There's no obligation on their part to take your case. So I got, you know, peripheral advice, which I'm glad I used their services early, because that's what I signed up for, to use the services early to test it, found out it wasn't worth shit, and dropped it the next month.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing that happened in 86. I believe it was the Tax Reform Act, where the IRS started to define pretty much like three different buckets of income, and I know we all may not fit in that category where that applies to us, but the tax perks still applies, and those three types of income were considered earned income, portfolio, and passive, and they said that that earned income, I believe, is the basically the money that works for you. You know, that typically includes the wages from a job. You know, even if the employer is your own company, the net income from your sole proprietorship. You know, that not incorporated business, and the income from your active involvement in some form of partnership, and when your portfolio was typically the income, the money that your money makes for you. So that would include stuff like interest, dividends, and capital gains. So they are both obviously short and long-term capital gains, but both refer to pretty much the gain that money makes for you. And so, you know, short-term gains means you held the asset for less than a year, 1 year, I believe. And I think the long-term gains, obviously you've held those longer and last. That passive income was typically income for, you know, from your investment that they made for you. You know, the most common source of passive income that we talk about is typically real estate investments. Earned income is also the highest tax income there is. And I know that in 2004, to be exact, the highest federal tax rate for earned income was 35%. But when you added, you know, payroll taxes or self-employment taxes, if you're in the wrong business structure, you know, you're looking at a tax rate of more than 40% in many cases.
Well, I think that, of course, when Bush was in, capital gains tax was down to 15% where it should be. I think that myself that the capital gains, whether it's short or long, shouldn't be taxed no higher than your normal income rate.
Hmm. All right. Well, thank you, sir. Let me bring Ron Rick in. I think he has he wants to get a part of this little conversation as well. All right. Welcome to the show, Ron. How you doing, man?
Hey, pretty good. How's everybody doing?
Hey, how you doing, Ron?
Excellent. Yeah, man, I want to get in this multi-level marketing deal. There is big money in it, okay? And I'm going to tell you how. Okay, I learned this trick a long time ago, how to make big money in MLM systems. You got to write a book. Because the only one making any money is the asshole selling the book. As far as the scam itself goes, no, you're not going to make no money. You'll wind up broke. I've never seen one successful. Out of all the ones I've looked at, I've never seen a multi-level marketing system ever work for anybody. But you have to pay in money to get the program. The guy that sells the program is the guy making the money. Okay? So, that's no way. I'd never get involved in any of that. But the thing people don't realize, what they do is they comes up the term sheeple, okay, because people apply for credit cards, they get them, they jack them up, they can't pay them. It's just like when this housing bubble hit. That's a big deal. They bought a house they couldn't afford. But that was, of course, you know, the scammers are going on, which was the loan officers were loaning the money to anybody. They didn't care. As long as they're warm and breathing, give them a loan. And that's turned into a big, major, major problem. And you know that that has never been paid for. You know, that's money still out there owed. It's never been paid. You know, like I said, they're too big to fail, you know, but it's come to the end of that. I think we're seeing a lot of problems come up with this. They're just not saying nothing about it. But financial markets are hurting. I mean, look, right now the dollar's losing its value. Prices, everything's going up, and it's going to get bad before it gets better. Because what I'm saying is with the income some people have, they cannot afford to buy food, just pay rent.
I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say the financial markets are hurting when the stock market is at as near all-time highs? The financial markets are doing incredibly well.
That's what you see. That's what they show you. That's not the real truth of what's actually going on.
Oh.
That's not the reality. Okay. No. When you go look at reality of it, okay, say you're making minimum wage.
So you're saying to believe what you're saying and don't believe what I read on the Wall Street Journal.
Right.
Oh.
All right.
I mean, you believe what you want. I'm not denying that. You believe what you want. But you got to look around you, too, man. You got to look at what's going on around you. Look at the price of fuel. Look at the price of food. You know, look at the price of your utility bills going up.
That's inflation. That inflation is happening.
Right.
I was just objecting to your statement.
Inflation makes the market run. The inflation is what keep that market value up to where it's at now today. That's what you're seeing.
How is that happening? How is inflation making the stock market higher?
Well, because it's more money coming in, more flow. you got to remember, okay, a gallon of milk used to cost $2.50 a gallon. Now it's up to $5. You see what I'm saying? So, of course, that market stock will be worth more because of the value of the product. When the value of the product goes up, that brings the market up.
But if it's inflation, it's just it's just the purchasing power of the dollar is less.
Right, and also
you have more dollars chasing less goods. That's what inflation is.
Right, but have you seen the numbers on Walmart lately?
I don't shop at Walmart.
Well, I don't either. But the point is, their numbers are down. Okay. Consumer spending is starting to drop off. People stop spending money because they're scared to spend it. They're getting to that point now. People are getting scared to spend money because the fact is it's coming hard to get it. Money is getting harder to get by the day. I mean, I don't know what you do for a living or anything like that, but, you know, most people out there working a, you know, 9-to-5 job, they're getting their hours cut because of Obamacare and all these other little deals. Rent's gone up. Cost of living's gone up, but the pay hasn't. That's the problem. When everything around you is more expensive than what you're bringing in, you cannot cope with that. People can't afford it. And that's, you know, you remember, you go back in history where, you know, it used to be a wife used to stay in the house to raise the kids. Now she had to go get a job to make, because they need the income to keep going. That's the problem. So I don't know, man. My main point was multi-level marketing. It's a scam, but, you know, the future's brighter. I do. I really do hope it's brighter. You know, I have a good residual income. I can't complain, but that can drive too. You know, just 1 minute, poof, it's over that quick. So, I mean, I'm just glad I get it, you know, for now, but it can come to an end real quick.
I'm sorry, were you done? I'm sorry, because I didn't want to cut you off. I think another interesting thing that, because when I talked about the taxes earlier, was tax deferred, and those terms, tax deferred, and I believe the other one, I'm trying to think what the other one is. I know one is tax deferred, and one is, I believe, the like-kind exchange. I know there are two common types of tax deferred income, though. One is the like-kind exchange, and one is the 401k. If I'm not
I've
mistaken.
Done the lifetime exchange before.
Oh, you're familiar with the lifetime exchange? The lifetime exchange.
You can sell a property one time in your life, and any amount that you profit up to $250,000, you do not have to pay federal taxes on.
Yeah, and I believe that fits in that two categories, because I know they talk about the two types of income that don't currently pay tax, and obviously those are, you know, tax deferred or tax later, while tax free, you know, is tax never. And so with the lifetime exchange, do you typically pay taxes early on, or do you, or what's usually the option, or in your experience, what was your option for paying?
You can own a property. If it's your primary residence, you can sell the property and take a profit, and anything up to $250,000 is not taxed.
And that's part of the section code 1031 and the Internal Revenue Code
I think that's it.
Yeah, the Starker versus Commissioner. Case is where that one came from, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure. I just know that I was informed about it and I took advantage of it.
And is anyone else familiar with the tenants in common, that classification?
That has to do with how the title is held.
And what are typically some of the benefits with the tax in common? I mean, the tenants in common, I'm sorry.
I don't know any of the tax benefits. I just know that has to do with how the title of a property is held. I don't know anything about the taxes.
Maybe in order to avoid a tax lien. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And when you talk about non-taxable income, you're talking about municipal bonds, which you can clip the coupons as they mature. You're paid interest, dividends, and that income, and a lot of wealthy people have their money in municipal bonds because it's non-taxable, and they don't, and they have a, you know, depending on how they're rated, but they usually don't default, but they have.
Yeah, another place to have your money is in money funds, but the rates on them are pitiful nowadays. You could take a money fund, put $3 million in it, and earn over $130,000 a year about 10 years ago. But the rates are not so bad now. It's terrible. But, Clout, if you're going to be a good business person, the number one thing you want to do is locate your business in a state that doesn't charge income taxes, like Nevada, Alaska, New Hampshire. Look at the money you save there. Florida.
You know what? That's fine. That is fine. You know, but what about those that don't have a starting spot to even to go, you know, to open any type of business? And I'll just sit here thinking about it. How about savings bonds? You know, I know when I was a young soldier in the military, that's what I did. I had savings bonds and just, you know, had them sent to the treasury until I was ready for them and sent for them to have them. And that's one of the easiest way of saving money right there. If you know, if you have the extra funds, I mean, $50 savings bond only going to cost you like $25. Most people spend that in threats or alcohol, you know, in a week or so. So
I give them as gifts to kids.
Yeah.
When they're born, when they have birthdays, and you kind of get, like you said, you get a lot of bang for your buck. They don't mature for 10 years or longer.
Right.
And it can look like you're giving them $500, but you're really only giving them $250 at the time, and they're not able to spend it. And it looks nice, but they don't pay much interest either, but at least you got your principal. Unless the government fails.
Well, that's true. And, you know, the other thing is, if you give them as gifts. I understand that. But if you're the individual actually getting them, you know, you just think about it. Just think about it. Each month you getting one and you're putting it and it's going somewhere where you can't touch it, just when, you know, after 10 years
yeah,
old.
You're saving the principal. You're saving the money, but they don't pay very much.
It has
to do with the interest rates. They're paying very little. You're just saving the principal. It's not, I mean, I understand it's good that you have it and you don't cash them in. You have the principal, but they're not paying much. It's not that much difference as sticking some cash underneath your mattress. It's giving the same. It's giving not much of a return.
That is a start, though. See what I'm saying, B? That is a start.
No, it's always good to save some money, believe me, because there's always going to be a rainy day, at least in my world.
Right.
There's always the need to get some money from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I had a quick question for you guys.
Go ahead.
One of the things that that particular CPA I was talking about was stating is that you talked about the problem, and I want to get you guys' thoughts on it, the problem with 401k's plans, in his opinion, was that it turns your portfolio income to earned income, which according to him pretty much means that it turns your money in a tax at 15% into money that's taxed at 35%, which would more than double your tax rate.
Early withdrawal.
Bean counters, which are accountants, they might know about taxation. And they may have these nice principles about saving some money, but they usually don't know anything about making money or earning money. They're bean counters for a reason.
CPAs, if they have a good financial background, can be beneficial, but most of the time they just know about accounting.
Well, you got some that specialize in certain professions. You know, mine specialized in construction. But I never did have a lawyer. You don't need a lawyer until you get ready to close out, unless you deal in a business that's very difficult. But, Cloud, you want to make sure that your business have a credit card. See, you can take your credit card. You can go to the store and buy. You can buy $100 worth of groceries for yourself. And your company can write that off as a business expense. And that $100 worth of groceries, you only have to pay 15% on it. And therefore, you're getting $85 worth of groceries for nothing. You have to learn how to use stuff like that, Cloud.
It pays to be in business in America.
Yeah, I guess it does.
I know people that operate side businesses that have jobs that pay a decent income, and the side business just loses money every year.
Let me tell you another thing, too, Cloud. Excuse me, Beasley.
Go ahead.
And Beasley is telling you the truth, too. But another thing you want to do, too, if you have a fleet of vehicles, don't buy car insurance. Buy bonds on each one. Because states require that you have financial responsibility. They don't say that you have to have car insurance.
Right.
So now, if you got bonds on your vehicle, then what you do, you pay into a savings account what the premium would normally be. The bond is very cheap. You can get I can't think of the name of the bond we had. But you can get a bond that covers 10 vehicles, and it may be $2,000. But if you were to go out and get insurance on all 10 of those vehicles, you would be paying, you know, a lot of money per month. So you take that premium that you would pay in insurance and put it in a savings account, and then watch it grow. You may get to the point where you may be able to start your own insurance company one day.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. Hold on. Let me bring up.
Yeah, that is interesting.
All right. Hold on. Let me bring up.
All right. I got to go. I'll send you a bill for that information.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right. Area code 313. Welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
This is Les. How you doing?
What's going on?
I'm glad you are having this show. This is a good one. This is a good one today. And, you know, I tell you, If you want to go ahead, now is the time to do it. New York has an excellent program, as I put in the chat room, where you can open a business now, 10 years tax-free. Michigan has a great program, tax-free 7 years. A lot of states are now trying to encourage businesses to open up. They want us to become entrepreneurs because that is truly the way to make money. I also was looking at a thing, it's called Teen Entrepreneurs, because I have seen in the last 3 weeks here in Michigan, young entrepreneurs that are teenagers, and they're making, right now, they're making like $50,000, $60,000, $100,000, and they just started their businesses within like a few weeks. And you can hear that show called Teen Entrepreneurs on Survival Radio Network. But overall, sitting back and as I put in my company, you can check out the website, won't cost you a dime. We take businesses, and what we do is we get them back the money that they have been overcharged through the different utilities, because utilities overcharge us. And you can take that and also use it personally for your own personal bills, because you've been overcharged also. But we just deal with businesses. You have to have bills that at least register $3,500 to $5,000 a month to talk in our company. But I will do things with companies that do $1,000. And we are looking for people all over the United States. Won't cost you a dime. And you can sit back and become a part of our business. We are employing people everywhere. We do 50 states and Canada. We're starting to open up now we're trying to get the UK. And so I just want to make people aware that they can sit back. it's time. It's time for us to sit back and dream. Get those dreams back. Do what you have to do. I see it's a lady and a man. Every day they've been sitting back on the corner, and they're doing dinners. And they're making a killing. These jokers done set up patio chairs and everything else. And they are making a killing. They have made a corner restaurant. And all it cost them was $25 to get a license to go ahead and open up on any corner that they want to open up on. And I like the savings bonds thing. Everybody has said some great stuff here. Some great stuff was shared today. And I just want to thank you for putting this show on because it is great. It is great. And we all have talent. We all have that entrepreneurship in us. It's just a matter of us sitting back and not being afraid to explore what it is that we can do. If it's real estate, now is the time to buy houses because so many houses are in foreclosure, they're almost giving them away. We had an auction here just last month. You could get a house for $50.
Not in California.
No, maybe not in California, but, I mean, California may have something that may be a little upscale or because your economy is different than the Midwest's economy, you know. So when you take into consideration what's your price and what's your rate of pay, just like the rate of pay in California is higher than the rate of pay in Detroit, only because you're in California and they have that inflated, they have that big inflation, opposed to where the Midwest doesn't have that type of inflation. It's a little bit lower, but the cost of living all amounts out to be the same.
Hey, Eric.
And that's all I'm gonna say for right now.
Okay. Yes, Yankee.
I wanted to tell Cloud three other points too. It's all right with you. You still there, Cloud?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, to go along with incorporating in another state like Nevada, in order to satisfy your state that you actually do have a out-of-state business, you got to do two more things, three more things. One, you got to have a mailbox that your mail goes to an address in Nevada, which can be a mail service for about $50 a year. You got to have a telephone number, which with today's VoIP phones, you can have the phone right next to you with a Nevada telephone area code that your wife answers in your house in New York or wherever you are. And the third thing you got to have is a bank account, which Bank of America will open up your account, a business checking or whatever, as long as you got a Nevada address. Now, you in business, you don't have to pay no state tax to the state. What state you live in?
I'm in Illinois.
You don't have to pay no state tax to the state of Illinois for your company. And now you're ahead about maybe $10,000-$15,000 a year.
And, Pianchi, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Pianchi, when you said that, because that is very true. Matter of fact, being a resident of Nevada and here in Michigan, having some dual residency, I was able to do just what you said, and it's exactly right. Good advice, and to deep H2O, yes, it does take a lot of work, but here's the kicker on this $50 deal. Now, these houses are auctioned. The auction starts at $50. The house may go for more than $50, but you also get, when you go in that house and start fixing it, the government here will give you $25,000 as long as you show that you've been a five-year resident of that particular property. So you're making money. You're making money. See, we can't be afraid to make this money. This is what these other folks are doing. This is how they're making money. They are turning stuff hand over fist. I am watching companies come in and buy up entire blocks for a little bit of nothing. And they're getting $25,000 on each one of them houses that they buy. And half the time, they're not even in these houses. But they're getting that money. They know how to get those gitas. Like the Jews used to tell me, go get the gitas. And we have to learn to go get the gitas. Stop being afraid of money and start looking at money for what money is. Money is green. It's made for us to make. We can sit back. We can borrow. We can trade. We can do everything that we need to do. And we can be successful. And Bianchi is exactly right on everything that he said. Take that advice and write it down, because that's some good stuff he gave you.
Then, Cloud, once you get your money, go to Ghana, where the treasury bills is paying about 24% a year. I've seen them as high as 40%. Build you a house. And if you got a residence in another country, your first $80,000 is tax-free to the IRS. So, Cloud, I'll give you five or six different ways how you can make money. I got your address, got your telephone number. I know where you live. I'm sending you a big bill now. And it's nothing like waking up in the morning when you get done sleeping. I'll see you later, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, good one, Bianchi. But he is, Bianchi is exact. He's right on the point. He's right on the point. He's right on the mark with everything that he said, you know. And then
really?
Something like, you know, something you said,
you would
Eric,
go ahead and invest your money someplace in Ghana where they pay 24% interest? You think that's something solid? I think that's ridiculous.
Watch it. You know what? I'm getting ready to start an internet cafe in Ghana because it's such a big thing over there, because a lot of people would want access to the internet. It's going to pay me lucrative return. I don't have to worry about that part. But now here's the thing. Here's the kicker on a lot of this stuff that we were talking about and has been said. You know, it's time to just get out and do it. See, we worry about it's not like a savings bonds. Savings bonds don't pay a whole bunch, but it's a good investment. One thing, even if somebody come and take them all out your house, they can't cash them. So you can always get them back. My father bought a car with savings bonds. $15,000, I think, what he paid back then on savings bonds. And I'm gonna tell you something else. If you have children, get that Goober life insurance plan where you only pay like $1 or $10 a month. Get that plan. Start it right now and put it up, and if they don't go to college, they still get the money back once they turn 21. So that's a good investment. That's sound investments. Another thing, put you up an emergency fund. You should always have at least $1,000 laying around your house in a safe somewhere for whatever comes up. And it's little things like this that we can do as people, and we throw away, I think Mr. Talk said it, we throw away more money on liquor and cigarettes and anything else, but we can put away, just take one, don't smoke one pack of cigarettes and put that money away and watch what it do in a year. Watch what it does in a year. And it's little simple stuff that we need to start doing that can make a whole big difference in the lives, that impact upon our families. And learn to leave and realize that we're all responsible to leave an inheritance of some sort to our children. So our children can leave them to the grandchildren. I'm done.
All right. I was wondering. I'll just give you more.
I'm done.
I'll just give you more.
If somebody were to give me one of those houses in Detroit and give it to me and give me $10,000, I still wouldn't go live there, Les.
Well, no, you know what? And you know what? Yes, you would. Yes, you would. I
sure would.
Yes, you would. You know what? It, because it's not about – you can take that house and flip it.
Thank you. Thank
you. You take that house and you flip it.
You can't flip it. That's why they're giving them away.
No. The reason they're giving them away is because the population here has shrunk so far down.
Right.
Now, you're getting $25,000 to fix it back up or do whatever you got to do. And that's free. It's a freebie. It's a gimme. See, what we don't want to do is we don't want to put the work in. We don't want to go through the process. And there's a process. That's why these people are buying these houses. Real estate will always be the highest paying thing in America. Donald Trump is buying up real estate everywhere. He flew over Detroit to buy up a piece of property that he couldn't get. The richest property in America was where the old Firestone building used to be. So now somebody else got
it. Hold on. What did you just say?
The richest property Firestone in America used to originate here
right,
in Michigan.
That's the richest property
of America? One of the richest properties in the world, in America.
Was?
Yeah, it was. It's bought now. They've developed it now. It's been developed. But Donald Trump, I remember when he flew over, he wanted to buy it, and somebody outbid him, owned the property, and now they've developed that property. That property is looking good, and they're doing what they have to do, and they're making money. And see, and that's what we do. We're afraid to make this money. Don't be afraid to make money. There's no harm in making money, but you got to have a dream. You got to know what you want to do. You got to sit back and say, okay, I want to do this. And don't be afraid to get out there and do it. People are going to talk about you. They're going to tell you it's going to fail. They're going to tell you that your plan don't make no sense. Well, I don't have time to listen to that because I'm living for me.
Well.
You know. I mean, I get tired. I see so many young people that sit back and they just have stopped.
Hmm.
And they think that selling drugs on the corner, or that's a real business. And then they find out later that wasn't a business and it didn't get them anything.
Real? Well.
Yeah. I don't want to preach on y'all today, but go ahead.
I think I need to go ahead and put this out here, you know, and make sure everybody understands. This is just not something for the men, y'all. Okay, ladies, women, ladies, entrepreneurs. You know, hey, the same thing for you. Don't think you know we're excluding you or anything, because hey, you can get out there and get that money too. And we talk about it in the legal way. All right, not up there with short dresses on and high heels. All right?
That's right. Hey, Mr. Talk, matter of fact, I'm going to throw this out there for all the ladies just to show you a young lady that's doing something. Laverne Campbell, she's an independent business owner. She has a jewelry line. We're working with her right now. She also does some things with long-distance services and things like that. But she has a jewelry line that is excellent. And we're building her website for her right now, getting her up and running so she can do an international type thing with her jewelry. And the girl makes a ton of money. She has 8 kids. She's a young woman, has 8 kids, was about to lose her home, and about to sit back, lose her electricity and everything else, and she decided, I'm going to step out. So, yes, ladies have a better chance than we have because they have more breaks. There are more grants that are available for black women, young women, than there are for men.
Wow. Y'all hear that? That's something you don't hear every day.
No, but it's true. Yeah, women entrepreneurs, they're, for years, they've been making a big dent in the economy.
Yeah.
There was some interesting facts that that I came across that talked about how most people buy a new house every few years each time and curing a new 30-year loan to pay off the previous home or loan. The previous one. And one of the suggestions I think that the guy gave from, I think it was from Rich Dad Poor Dad, if I'm not mistaken, and he talked about, he said that the best investment are usually first sold to sophisticated investors, those who turn around and pretty much sell them to people and play it safe. But more importantly, one of the things that I like that he said, he talked about the difference between assets and liabilities. And one of the things he mentioned is that the difference between an asset and a liability, one of the things is when he said that when he wants a bigger house, for example, he would first buy assets that would generate the cash flow to pay for the house or, whatever the item he wanted to purchase. So he would allow the coveted item, whatever item he wanted to pay for, he would get some asset that could pay for it first before purchasing, instead of, how sometimes we do, we'll buy the item and then try to figure out, how am I going to pay for this particular item? And so his expenses would match his income, and he would never, for many of us, our expenses match our income, so it stops us from, having anything left over to invest in those assets. But, as a result, liabilities become larger than those assets. That's what I think he was trying to point out in that particular item.
Yep, and Cloud Nation, I agree wholeheartedly. Like I said, it's a lot of great information that was given out today, and I hope people take that to heart. I just want people to know today is the time. Now is the time to sit back. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 12 years old. I've never wanted to work for anybody, even though I did 20 years with General Motors, went to the military for a minute. I've never wanted to work for anybody. I've always believed that I could do and be the best that I could be working for myself. And so I tell people, take that risk. Step out. It might not be all that you want, but you got to sit back and start. And do your research. Do your homework. Do your homework, because I'm watching so many minority loans being turned back in year after year. The banks are trying to give us money, trying to give minorities money for minority businesses, and we don't even take advantage of it. And one of the reasons is because we don't have the proper business plan. Put together a business plan. Google it, whatever you got to do to make a right business plan. We live in an age of technology where there's no such thing as what I can't do. I can do and be whatever I want to be if I want to be that. And so I tell people, I encourage them, go ahead, start a business. If it's a catering service, whatever it is, it might be a cleaning service. Start it up. And a lot of these businesses don't cost a whole bunch of money. A lot of them don't cost a whole bunch of money to start up. A lot of them, you can even take a cleaning service, and people don't realize this, but you can take a cleaning service, and you might not have not one piece of equipment, but you're using other people's stuff. Because they already got it in their house. They just want you to clean it. But you're charging them a fee to clean their house. And then don't rob yourself. Don't be afraid to sit back and charge a fair price for what you're doing. Don't sit back and sell yourself out cheap, because a lot of times when we start businesses, we sell ourselves out a little cheap, trying to underbid or underestimate what our value, because we feel that we're not worthy. And a lot of folks don't feel that they're worthy when they get into these businesses. And please, whatever you do, don't fall into these schemes, these pyramid schemes that's out here. Don't go out here and get into something that really don't make sense. Something that you got to pay for on a constant basis. You got to store all this stuff in your house and all of that kind of stuff. That's not really business. That's not real business in America. Do something that you can do.
You got to be able to distinguish between a real MLM and a Ponzi scheme. I'll give you a quick tip. Any distributor who's coming to you and they're telling you that you can make money by being a distributor, that in effect is a Ponzi scheme, even if it's not considered a Ponzi scheme by the FTC. But if they're coming to you and they're telling you that you actually have to sell, because this is one of my pet peeves with MLMs, they say you never have to sell. That's bullshit. You always have to sell. And they say you can make money by selling the goods, the services. That's worthy of research. But when somebody says, all you've got to do to make money is just become a distributor and sell other people on becoming a distributor, that in essence is a Ponzi scheme.
Right. Exactly. 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 And you hit it right on the head when you said that. That is a Ponzi scheme from way back, and people still fall into it. I don't fall for it, folks. I'm telling you, it's better for you to go out there. There are legitimate things that can be done that you will not have to go and recruit 10 people up under you. You know, you don't have to have 10 people up under you. But you can put people up under you if you choose to once you have something that is not a Ponzi.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, nothing wrong
with everybody makes money.
Yeah, down having a downline or an upline. But down, as long as you're recruiting people to sell the actual goods, then it's legitimate. You know, that's not you're going to be successful because you really do have to be a salesman. You have to be a trainer. You have to keep on top of your people, but if you can do that, you've got some nice residuals coming in.
There you go. There you go.
Did you guys hear the that story about the guy from Red Lobster and how him and a group of his friends established Red Lobster, who happens to be black, by the way, just to throw that out there. But Red Lobster, and they own several other franchises, but the story from what I was told is that it was a group of guys and women who started off in junior college taking culinary classes. And while they were taking those culinary classes, from what I was told, they started an investment group. Some of them worked in McDonald's, some of them worked in some of the retail chains, and they pretty much put together like this group. I think it was about 50 of them. It grew to 50. It started with 10, if I'm not mistaken, and I believe it grew to about 50 people. And they started to set aside funds, and they had a projected time period in which they wanted to launch this. Launch a restaurant. They took some of the skills they obtained both from school and some of the skills of from operation that they learned in McDonald's and some of those retail stores, implemented into their system. And then they started to hit farmers markets, different types of outdoor markets. And the first thing that they did was once they hit those markets, they started to get, build up a reputation for their product. The first thing they sold, if I'm not mistaken, it was a sauce of some sort. From there, they took the sauce through the and paid for all the processing they need, the testing, the legal stuff. Got that together, and once they launched that, then they already had a proven product. Started to work the different stores, grocers, and different retail stores to get the product in. From there, they built up enough capital and also were able to encourage some neighbors and some residents and family members to invest in their company. And then that's when they started their first chain or business. And from there, started building multiple franchises, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, wow. You're right.
And it was all minimum wage workers.
Yeah, hold on for a minute. Hold on. All right, y'all, we got 5 minutes left in the show, and we will be going overtime. So you need to get on the switchboard, 347-838-8622. To continue to hear the show live, let me say that again, 347-838-8622, because we'll be going in overtime. And H2O, if you're kind enough, would you please put that link in there so those that want to stay in the chat room can stay in the chat room. All right, let's see. We got a couple of hands up here. So let me bring Maze in. And then let me bring this other call in right here. Hello, 111. Who do I have here?
Can we not have Maze? Because I'm just getting up and she'll confuse me for my whole day.
All right. Go ahead, Maze. You up?
Can I give you some information?
Go ahead, Maze.
I don't talk to people. Well, you know, you can become a blogger and a ghostwriter, and it's called SafeBroker.com. And you have to do a 200 sample in order to get hired. And you're working for yourself, and you don't have to spend no money.
Okay.
And do they hire you?
I know you don't like people telling stuff like this. That's why he sits his butt at home every day and do stuff. He can find something for himself to do. And he can get rid of his ignorance.
Do they hire you to write on their blog?
Yeah, you can write on their blog and do different things. You can be a ghostwriter.
Or a guest blogger, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I give you another one next week. I have plenty that I can give you. And that's chicken change for some people that, you know, just want to have something to do.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, thank you, ma'am. Is that what you do?
No.
Oh, okay.
I know somebody that do it because I gave them the information.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you, ma'am. All right, let's see.
Never heard anyone.
Huh?
I said information never hurt nothing. All it
does
is help.
You're right. All right, Mr. Jew, you up?
What was the topic today that I missed? Because I had a life. And I was doing something.
We don't know.
You don't know.
Residual,
you don't even know why you're
here. Residual income.
If you weren't listening, you
residual income. That sounds like a Mr. Solutions topic.
Sure does. But I don't think it was.
Is there something you want to say there, Jew, or you just...
Actually, what I'd like you to do, Eric, if you would, is put me and Beasley in the green room for a couple of
minutes. I don't want to. Why does
he
want to talk?
You do.
Why don't you call me? Why don't you just give me a call?
All right, I will.
Oh, boy.
No, in fact, just give me your number and I'll call you.
Here we go.
It's Howie versus, I forget what Beasley's real
name
is.
I don't mind
just
talking to
him. Just put me in the green room. Put him in the green room. I want to talk to him.
All right. Put me in the green room.
All right. Green room, y'all shall go.
But Eric, if I can say, I'm going to spell this out for everybody. I want you to check out the website. It's AmalGamated, audit, AUDIT.com. Check that website out. If you want to come aboard, we'd be more than happy to have you there. Won't cost you a dime. You will get paid on commission because we pay everybody on commission. And it just depends on what you want to do. If you're serious about doing something, it becomes your own baby. It's not recruiting you to do anything. I don't get a dime off of you. If my auditor doesn't get a business back, a refund, the business does not have to pay. And that is our whole niche. That's why we have been successful. That is why we make money, and we help other people make money and live their dreams, because it's all about sitting back and giving back and being that type of organization where we can give back. And we have 190 people right now that are sitting back and participating in this program. We have gotten school systems. You can read it on the website. You can look at it for yourself. And something I do want to say, Mays is correct when she says, you can actually get paid a lot of money for being a daily blogger. I wouldn't agree with that unless I had seen it for myself. You can get paid big money.
A good and mass stroke that I'm, that, of course, someone's going to then tell him, oh, all these people are over there talking to Tommy. So I think we control them both.
That would.
Okay. I don't know what happened with that one, but.
I don't know what that was.
Now Beasley and the Jew are going to collaborate with each other about controlling people now.
Oh, well, you know, they chat. They were in the green room, and some kind of way we got switched back, so. Uh-huh.
But, yes, yeah. as I was saying, Mays was absolutely right. You can be a ghostwriter, and right now books are popular. We all have a lot of opinions. We all have a lot of things that we want to say. Put them down in a book. Put them out there. Share them with people, and I'm telling you, you can get paid. It's amazing the stuff that you can get paid in America doing. It's just fascinating. We have to realize Harry Potter started out on a napkin by a homeless woman.
J.K. Rowling.
In a restaurant. Okay? She sat back on a napkin and wrote Harry Potter. And she was homeless. And look at her now. She's probably one of the richest women of these movies that's out there.
I think either she's the first or the second richest female playwright or something like that. Yeah. And she's not affiliated with Hollywood because she wanted to make her movies with Hollywood participation, but she wanted to make movies mainly with British actors, British input, and not American input. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she wanted Americans to go see.
And here's something else. I want everybody, if you can go to...
Nothing wrong with that.
Networking After Dark. Go to networkingafterdark.com. Great website. And start networking. Network with other business people because... You really don't use your money. You use other people's money. If you're going to be successful at a business, learn to use other people's money. It's not about feeling bad. It's not about taking advantage of them. You set them up with a fair price. If they agree, go for it.
That's important.
Go for it.
Yep. OPM. Yeah, other people's money. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, that's a true statement. I mean, if you look at all of these people... Just like sports, these owners of sports teams, for a good example, it's not just that one person that owns that team. They may have 25 partners. And all of them pooled their money together in order to get the team. So don't be afraid to sit back and network. They have the young professionals, the young business professionals, I think, in every state. If you're young, get involved with them. They do certain little functions, and they sit back and they network, just networking with successful business people. You know, I never forget when I was young, when I was like 16, when I went to General Motors. I went to General Motors at 16 years old, lied to get into General Motors. I got there, and I'll never forget, I was dealing with a guy, he was 18, he was in real estate, and he says, I don't even talk to people that don't make $50,000 a year. Well, I thought that this was the most ludicrous statement that I ever heard, because he didn't know me. And he didn't know that I was at General Motors. I'm making great money. I was making good money because of the expertise that I was in, and I got in a great plant where I didn't have to worry about assembly line. And I sat back, I said, what is this fool talking about? Well, I started learning as I got older, you can't hang with 9 broke people and think that you're not going to be broke. Because they're going to bring you down. So success breeds success, and that's a very true statement. And so if you want to be successful, start hanging out with those people that are in the direction that you want to go in. And that's, I'm going to say that and I'm going to shut up. I'm done.
Herbert, you there? Oh, is he in the green room?
He probably is.
No, well, well, what you said is very important, Les. People aren't going to learn. Well, you can learn from other people's mistakes if you have a mindset to do so. But most of the time, if you're hanging out with people who are always going to make excuses for why they can't do it, then it's going to most likely rub off on you rather than the positive attitude rubbing off on them.
Yep, you're right. You're right. And that's the whole thing. You got to put yourself, plant yourself. If you're going to make a team of people that are successful people, people that are moving in the same direction or at least going toward the direction that you're trying to go to, and you'll always come out on top. I don't care what your idea is. There is somebody out there with that idea, and you can sit back and make it. And that's why I try mm-hmm. to put this positivity out there, because that is what it's really about. It's not about hanging out with these negative folks. Negative folks won't get you a dime.
And you got to know.
They'll always bring you down.
You got to know if people really have the motivation to know what they're talking about. I'll give you, see, you reminded me of an example of what happened years ago. I was in an office, and I had some friends who were talking about starting up a business. So I had learned prior to that about choosing the right people, because prior to that, years before that, I had a girlfriend, and she and I were talking about going into business together. And when we started talking about what the business would entail, all of a sudden, she just wanted to be the very passive partner. So when I learned that all she wanted to do was talk about it but not be about it,
yep.
I said, okay, I'm dropping this idea. So she and I never again got into business together. So I learned from that, and in order not to waste our time, myself and these guys from the office, I wrote up some business questions, like, what kind of business do you want to go in? What kind of income, I mean, what kind of revenue do you want to generate? How long will it take to get the revenue? What kind of customers do you want to go after? What kind of profit do you want to make? So I typed it up, distributed it, never heard from the guys again, which was a good thing. I mean, we never heard from them about the business, because then I knew they were thinking about the dream, but in order to really try to make the dream a reality, they didn't think it out.
Didn't have a clue.
Right.
Didn't have a clue.
And that saved us a lot of time, because we could have pulled our money together, got enthused about it, had the dream, but didn't know what to do.
Yep.
So things like that. I mean, business preparation is the lesson I wanted to contribute with this, about know what you're going after. And I'll tell you another thing, too. When I was in college and we studied business, those freaking textbooks, they're worthless. So.
Yeah, there you go. I'll never forget. And me and the dean of business, because I went to business college, me and the dean would sit back because he taught a class, and he told us something that was very provocative, and we got real close because there was a little close niche clique that mm-hmm. he saw that was there that was going to do something. He sat back and told us, he said, look, you really don't need this. You don't need this, but you need to find what you can do. And what you do well, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really need the whole lot of other stuff. He said, because I'm going to teach you theories. I'm going to teach you book stuff. But it's still going to boil down to what you're going to be about.
Yep.
And you know, I've had partners like that myself that they sit back, they start out, they've got the beginning,
mm-hmm.
they've got the middle, but they don't have an end
mm-hmm.
to the means. And then a lot of people want this get-rich-quick scheme,
yep.
and it's not going to be a get-rich-quick. Business is not a quick get-rich scheme. It's something that takes hard work. You spend more hours. I probably spend 80 hours working in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know where the 80 hours come from. But I do it because I love it. That's what my passion is. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, and so I always strive to be one.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, don't think that you're just going to get in this thing and it's just going to fall in your lap. It doesn't just fall out the sky. It takes some work.
Mm-hmm.
It takes work to make it. It takes work to get to the top of your profession or whatever field you're in. It takes a lot of work.
You know, and I don't know why you mentioned that dirty word work, because that's going to turn people. Why do you do that?
Well,
effort,
you know,
work.
Well, you know what? Cause we don't want to work. We don't want, you know, cause I'm lazy man. I'm really like, I'm so proud that I'm able to sit back and I can just step in, but I still got to put some work in.
No, 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 not work. Please, that four letter word. Oh, please. No.
And people do when they hear that word work, it just they run immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. You got to run, but it's very valid, and it has to be done. It has to be done, folks. If you're not willing to do it, then it probably won't go anywhere. It'll
mm-hmm.
probably just last for a minute. But if you're willing to put that work in, that four-letter, that nasty four-letter word.
Yeah. Oh, God, work. Oh, God.
If you're
no.
willing to put that work in, then you will succeed. It may take you a minute, and there's no problem with that. But you're going to be making, I tell you, when you work for yourself, you'll make more money in a year than you ever made for working for somebody else. There's never been a rich person that has worked for somebody else, and I say that wholeheartedly. Even working out the factory, you will not become rich working in the factory. You will suffice, but you won't get rich because that's the way it's designed. That's the way the program works. So everybody get with the program and get out here and start being about your business. Start being about your business because everybody has a business that is instilled within them that they want to sit back and incorporate or do. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Go about it.
Well, I think people should stop listening to you, Les, because you're nothing more than a greedy entrepreneur. That's all you are. Just greedy, greedy, greedy.
Oh, no, 3-1. Yep, yep. And do all your homework. Do all the homework. Another thing that we lack, and it's kind of amazing, we don't do our homework and research in order to succeed.
You know nothing. Know something else, Les? Most people don't. Do you know? And outside of the fact that you're giving people positive reasons to become entrepreneurs, here's a fact that most people are going to take and use negatively, is that 80% of entrepreneurs, if 80 to 90%, let's say just 80, across the board, white, black, et cetera, they fail within the first 5 years.
There you go.
Now,
there
I take it, yeah, it's a negative fact, but I take it as a positive sign because I know that if I want to start up a business based upon my experiences, I can make that business succeed where other businesses will fail. Therefore,
yep.
if they're going to fall by the wayside, that means less competition for me.
There you go. There you go. And you know, something I want to tell people, it's good to have that competition, though. It's great when you have competition. A great story, if anybody doesn't know Motown Records' story and Berry Gordy's story, Berry Gordy failed at doing records about 4 times. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it took off because he kept his perseverance, his endurance. You have to have endurance in this thing. It's like running a marathon. You have to keep on going. You might get knocked down. You might not make it the first time. You might pick the wrong choice of a business. But when you really have that entrepreneurial spirit, you sit back and you find a way. You find what will work. and what you fit in, where you fit in. You got to get in, like I tell people, where you fit in, and you've got to find your niche. You've got to find, really, what do you love to do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mind? What do you love to go? You would go that extra mile to achieve. So if you're not willing to go the extra mile, you'll probably never make it in business.
No, don't
people that make it in business go that extra mile.
Oh, God, that means work. Holy Jesus. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Work.
Right, right. What am I going to
do? God,
I mean,
no.
I've got to do something. I got to get up. I got to, oh, my God.
I got to turn off the TV? Come on.
Yeah. Sometimes we got to turn off BTR, and we have to turn
mm-hmm.
off the TV, and mm-hmm. we have to sit back, and we have to take care of our business. Like
mm-hmm.
I said, a lot of people don't know they don't have a business. They don't even have business.
Yeah.
And we think we have business, and we don't have business. Our lives have become so complicated to where we can't even sit back and to do what we really dream to do, because we get bombarded by what we call our business.
Yeah. Well, I personally think you're giving out wrong information, because Whitey's going to come along and just take it away from you. You know that, bless it. So.
Well, you know what? No,
what
no. See, that's one thing I like. Now, here's where I'm going to disagree with you on this one. You know what? What's mine is mine. And one thing I found out, and like I tell people, I demand respect when I walk into a building.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ask for respect. I demand it. And folks don't care. When folks see you doing something, they look at you in a whole different light, especially for black folks.
Mm-hmm.
When you sitting back,
right.
You walk into a joint with blue jeans on, they treat you one way. You go back in there with a suit and tie, the whole atmosphere has changed. It's just turned. They turned around, and now they're just sitting back with the kumbaya, and they love you to death because they feel like this is success.
Really? Well, I don't do business with people like that.
Huh?
If you're going to respect my money, you're going to respect me regardless of what I look like.
Right, but you know what? But then
I went into a bank, and they told me that I was going to have to take my hat off. I said, I'm not taking my hat off for nothing.
There you go.
My hat going to stay on my head, or I will close my account. And who do you think won?
And you know what? I like that, Maze, but to be truthful with you, there's a certain code. And we don't like to use that word code, but there is a certain code that gets you more respect than going in there looking. I can't go down there with my pants sagging. I can't go into a place sagging, and I might have all the money in the world. And
hey,
I
Les,
do it.
Let me add to this conversation.
Huh?
Let me add to this conversation.
Go ahead.
This is East Coast. East Coast.
Oh.
You know. With business and everything, you have an idea. A lot of us have ideas, but we don't know where to begin. And those who know sometimes learn on their own. But there are resources out there. I would recommend that you go to the junior college and take a course in marketing, take a course in accounting, take a course in business so that you understand what the business world is about in junior college. And junior college is cheap. You know, when you start a business, has anybody ever heard of, and I know Beasley probably had, SWOT? It's called a SWOT analysis. Go on the internet.
I've heard of it.
And,
yep.
Yeah. You go on the internet.
Oh, Eric, you're back. Huh?
And they'll have it in there. What it stands for is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So when you have an idea and you want to put it together, you look at the strengths of your business, you look at the opportunities, the threats to your business, strengths and the threats to your business, so that you kind of have a roadmap in your mind of how you can make your business successful, and that's what they do. So I would recommend that if you're serious and you have something that you want to start on your own, you don't know where to begin, invest in yourself. Take a course in marketing, and just see what's involved in business, and then take a business class. Perhaps an economics class, you know, so that you know how the business world works. And there are a lot of people, you know, you start little and you grow big. A friend of mine told me about a guy at 9/11. He was a policeman. He cashed out, moved to North Carolina, and just like somebody mentioned before, he started up doing his own barbecue business and selling the sauce. And then he built up, he hired some people to make the sauce. He contracted with some stores, and now the guy is living large down in South Carolina. I mean, North Carolina.
I like it. I like it.
But he took something small, you know, a family type of recipe, and made it into a business. And now he's making real money, not at the corporation level, but I'm just saying he's supporting himself. And that's
right.
What his group's all about.
And you know what? Something else, East Coast, and you brought up a great point on that. I want to tell people this. You know what? Don't worry about making corporate money. You won't make as much money as Ford's, Chrysler's, General Motors, or maybe IBM or anybody else. But even though IBM started out of a garage, the same way with Microsoft, started in a garage.
Apple, all of them did. They
all of them started in garages.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do is don't be afraid to dream big. Don't be afraid in whatever you get, because you're going to make more money than what you made. And like you said, this guy is living large now. That's all that matters at the end of the day.
He
you know.
His head, but what I'm saying is that you can, like you said, have an understanding of what, how are you going to market your business.
Right,
if you don't
right.
Know how, you can't really, you know, it's a good
idea. And you know what? I tell people, you know what? Use your library. There's a library. There's the Internet. We use the Internet for everything else. There's a thing on there. All you got to do is punch in how to. And you can get a quick crash course
mm-hmm.
that will give you some good information and will tell you pretty much in full what you need to do. But we can't be afraid to do this.
Come on, Les. You're encouraging reading.
But again, Les, not everybody.
Like Joe, he puts it out there and everybody else got to find it. We, some of us, know where it is. That's why we spread it on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't keep it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, I don't
that's
believe
how we
in
listen and learn.
See, Maze, I don't believe in keeping stuff to myself. I believe that if I can sit back and help one person become a better person or to reach their full potential, I've done what I'm supposed to do. See, it's not about me when it comes to what I put out there. I give you freebies, which I would normally charge a person for. But I'm not charging you. This is free. This is a gift. If you can't see the gift, then you're blind.
But
Les,
not everybody's in the business. I'm just saying, not everybody's going to be in the
business. Right, and everybody can't be a business owner. Everybody will not be a business owner. It has to be some workers. I don't care how you look at it, how you slice it, how you dice it. Some people don't want to be business owners. And I would have much respect for those that work for me. Much respect.
Hey, that's the whole
because
thing.
Because they're my team. Make my team.
Yeah, when you become an entrepreneur, if you grow, you have to hire workers. That's the point of the growth of the economy, is to do that in order for the entrepreneur to make money and for other people who don't have the mindset of becoming an entrepreneur to remain workers as they would like to be, and they make money.
A lot of people make money, and they don't know how to handle the money that they make. That's why they go out of business.
Well, that goes back to the education thing, you know, developing your business plan. In most colleges, you can go through the business schools, and they'll work a business plan up for you.
Yep. Yes, that's so true. Matter of fact, the first business that I opened was a wake-up service. Now, here's how this came about. It was supposed to be my thesis paper in business college. And I told him, I said, well, let me use your phone line. And everybody laughed. A wake-up service, that ain't going to work. It's not going to work. The next thing I knew, the college was shutting me down because they was getting so many calls. And I had so many clients. They sat back and shut me down and said, well, and they didn't shut down the business because all I did was switch it to my business phone number. Because I had made so much money on what was supposed to have been a joke, what was supposed to have been just a paper that I was writing on a successful business, because that's the last thing they ask you to do, make a successful business. and show us how it operates. And when I did it, it only cost me $15 to put an ad in the paper back in the day. And
but
that was my first business. That was my first business.
But Les, you educated yourself. You just said that you were in business school.
There you go. I went to business college. Yes, I have a degree in business.
And back to the junior college, you can get a 2-year business degree. Basically, you're just trying to gather enough information how to get started on your own. You don't have
right.
to go 4 years.
And then East Coast, I don't know if you heard what I said earlier. My dean told me that, and he told all of us this. He said, look, you really don't need us. What you need to do is make your plan.
A template.
Put your idea together and go out there and make it happen. So, and that's what I did. I just got out there. I did something crazy. Like I said, that wake-up service was the craziest idea. I don't even know where it came from.
Well, Les, you might want to market yourself in that area. Maybe you can get a grant. No.
Like I said, I done moved on since then, and I'm running 4 businesses now. So I've moved on from that one. See,
they move on,
they keep on going.
What I'm saying is add another one is to impart your knowledge. You know, like you had your little workshop. You could come up with some sort of program to teach people how to start a business.
Oh, yes. Well, we do lectures. We do all that kind of stuff. Like I said, that's how I get paid. That's how I retired at 47. Everybody asks me, you retired at 47? Yes, I did. I wanted to retire at 45, to be honest. I had 2 years where I had messed up, and I guess I got penalized for 2 years, but I ended up coming out at 47. Now, I'm proud of that. I'm very proud of that. You know, and I still have businesses that I run, but yet I'm a retired man and had 31 years of work credit that was accredited to me. Now, anybody can figure that, figure it out. I'll let y'all figure that one out. Because even though I was working for somebody else, I still was working for myself because I put businesses over everything else because I knew what I wanted to do.
That is how you do it. You work for yourself, and you work for somebody else. You have the talent for a job for yourself, and you might be in somebody else's company working, but you still have the talent for your own business. That's why you make your money work for you, and you don't have to work for it.
I like that, Maze. I'm finally we in agreement. We're on something.
So get you a T-shirt.
I am so happy. Me and Maze are now.
I think I'm on pattern that, so nobody can steal it.
Me and you are now on the same page. And like I told people, here's something I want everybody. I mean, if you can do this, and I know you can do it because we throw away more than $2 a day. It don't seem like a lot. Put away $2 a day for an emergency fund. You have to have an emergency fund. You can have a savings fund. And you can have an investment fund, but put away an emergency fund. Also, get life insurance on yourself. Make sure that you're insured just in case something happens. And always plan. Like I said, I'm not planning this for me. I plan this more for my daughter and my granddaughter than I do for myself because I don't want to be one of these people that leave here and my granddaughter or my daughter have to suffer.
That don't stop them from suffering because you leave them something.
Huh? Is it possible for a person to save a year's salary? You know, a working person.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say? You know, because I've heard on Blog Talk where they say you should have a year's salary. What would you say? How much would you say you should need to have?
Well, I'm not going to go into my figures. I will not talk about my money figures.
No, not your money.
What I make. But I will say this. I will put it like this.
What
you're talking
about is the principle.
Watch it. I will say this.
1 year's worth of salary.
I put six digits away every year. Okay, oh, I will say that. I'm not going to tell you how much, but I put six figures away every year. And it's not so, like I said, it's not for me. This is for once I leave, I can give my offspring the best chance that's possible in this day and age so that they can make it. Because
that's a perfect segue, Les. Let's give our final 15, I mean, our final our last words. It's a good time for our last words.
While you putting it away for your offspring, you better make sure that your offspring don't marry a spring that ends up in somebody else's hand.
Well, see, my daughter already has a master's degree. She has a husband. She has a husband.
Mm-hmm.
They make great money together. You don't raise knuckleheads. You discipline your children. And here's my last words. I'm going to say these last words, and I'm going to get out of here. You know what? You have to sit back. It says that a man that doesn't leave an inheritance is worse than an infidel. Now, I want you to think about that and marinate on it for a minute.
Plenty have left inheritance, and they left a mess behind. Talk about somebody that know about 300 acres of land.
Well, that's an infidel. That's what an infidel.
That was
they
left
didn't
behind.
Leave anything behind.
300 acres of land that was left behind. And if they all didn't get along, it wouldn't have been nothing that they left behind.
Okay, Cloud, we're here for the last
words. Of course,
we'd
have got it
all. Right?
Yeah, for the last words.
Okay.
Oh, last words, okay.
Okay.
Les, you were going to finish up?
Yeah, so anyway, here's what I'm saying. Just like I have 125 acres down in Georgia, okay? Now, what people do with it after I'm gone, I really don't care because I'm not going to be here to enjoy it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever they do with it, I hope that I have raised my children in such a way to where they'll do the right thing. Let us start teaching our children what's really out here and what they're really faced against. And we are not in a society where you can work for someone else anymore. We are in a society that is moving more into entrepreneurship than ever before. And those are my last words.
Who's next, Clem?
Am I next?
Yeah, you can go next, mate.
Well, it doesn't necessarily be about how much money that you can say you have. It's about what somebody, helping someone else to make and be happy. We don't, people call it an American dream. The American dream is different to different people. Some people can have a little bit of money and be happy. Some can have a lot of money and unhappy. So we're not focusing we want to learn about the things that we can do, just like everybody else has been making money out there, and you don't know how to do it to make it yourself. And it's simple, not having to go get a government loan to do it. There's so much stuff out there that you can find to do on the Internet and get paid to do it. And you can be working for yourself. It's like a lot of people work at home, and they do very well. And people don't understand, well, why is she home all the time? You don't live in my house. Don't worry about what's going on. If I show you how to get to it, you do it. And if you don't, you're just saying, you know, some people get up at the top and want to brag about it. It's not about that anymore. It's about helping somebody else and pulling them along and show them how they can get where you've been left out. And I got a good one for Mr. Talk that'll fit him perfectly.
Oh, really? And what is that?
Yes, I do. I'll let you know. And then you can tell everybody else about it because it'll fit you very well. Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Uh-huh.
Have a good one.
All right. Bye, Maze.
I love you, Maze.
Lord. All right, Joe, you up.
All right.
Only one comment. Whoever said that we're becoming entrepreneurial, one thing you better keep in mind is that the government is anti-entrepreneur. The government will get in your way in any way they can to make it difficult. Now, maybe the state of Texas, I hear there's a lot of good stuff going on down there, but most states, especially California, they're really anti-small business.
Illinois, too.
All right.
They don't want people who are successful in small
business.
Mm-hmm. They want everybody working for big corporations.
All right.
He's got the
Beatles. Thank you, sir.
Every time it's my turn to talk, there.
Hold on, Joe. I got you, Joe. All right, East Coast, you up.
All I have to say is just be positive in life. Those are my comments.
All right, thank you, sir, and appreciate you calling in. You don't call in often. All right, Joe, you up.
All right. It's nice to hear all of this, but still, I still want to know, how's racism going to play into it? So that's all I got to say.
See, you didn't even have to go there. You are so wrong for that.
I just want to find out. Everybody's telling me.
One show where we actually didn't have to cover it, and you going to bring it up now. Boy,
It's two and a half hours. So everybody was positive. I brought in a little bit of negativity. Who knows? Okay?
You're no good. All right, Joe. See you tomorrow.
See you.
All right, Hakeem, my man, you up.
Man, I'm just excited. I got a chance to learn a lot today. I think I will be definitely archiving this particular show. I wish everybody a safe and great rest of their day. The whole show was positive. I'm excited about that. That's a wonderful thing. And looking forward to tomorrow. See you tomorrow.
All right, and. You need to go ahead and schedule a show. You know how to get on and do all that, hopefully. So go on and schedule it, and we'll be there. All right. Let's see. I guess that leaves me. Wow, man. I told y'all at the beginning of the show you need a pencil and paper, and you know, because there's going to be some great information put out. And it was. It was some excellent, excellent information put out. Everybody contributed some very, very good information. However, you know, I understand, you know, we talked a lot about the finished product of what we could be doing and what we should be doing and all that. However, before you get to the finished product, you have to remember that you have to start somewhere. And that starting somewhere is by educating yourself on financial matters to where it would help you, you know, begin to create your own wealth, number one, and then allow you to branch out into residual income. You know, if one hand washes the other, yes, we can tell you all day how to do it, but if you haven't educated yourself or put yourself in position to really appreciate the end result, then we're talking for naught. You know, I know I said savings bonds, and I truly believe that's a great way to start because it's not requiring you to do much, you know, and in the long run, it may not give you much, but it is a start. You'll be surprised. You know, if you get one each month, $25, you know, that's like $50 bond, and then just let it sit and sit, and after 10 years, you'll be surprised how much you have just accumulated. You know, and it's just simple things like that. But first, you must be educate yourself financially and be disciplined. Know where you're going. Be disciplined enough to do it no matter what. I know sometimes it's going to be hard, but that's when you show the discipline that is needed to go ahead and achieve your goals. All right. Well, that's going to do it for me, man. I enjoyed it. Boy, did I enjoy this. All right. I want to thank everybody who participated, everybody on the line, my co-host Cloud Nation. Another great job, man. I'll tell you, my cousin Les, he always bringing the info. He always bringing it. All right. So, and of course, my chat room coordinator, Miss Antoinette, the beautiful one herself. Thank you, ma'am. All right. So, we're going to get on out of here now. All right. So, here it is. Keep smiling. Show appreciation. Forgive with open heart, but make sure you're forgiving yourself first. And the biggest and best thing, learn to laugh at yourself. If you can learn to laugh at yourself, then, man, everything else is just gravy. All right? So that's going to do it for me. Until tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time, this has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and for my co-host, Akeem, a.k.a. Cloud Nation Radio, it's been a good one, y'all. See y'all tomorrow. We out of here.
Bye-bye.